It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast on a Friday, a Hey Mary Kay edition of the podcast as the Browns wrap up the first wave of free agency. Here we went to our Football Insider subscribers and asked for some questions. Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page is where you can go to get involved with that. And of course, Mary Kay Cabot is here. And the first question for you, Mary Kay, comes from Chris in Chicago. Hey, Mary Kay, what grade would you give the Browns offseason so far?
That's a great question. I haven't really had too much time to think about this yet because we're still in the thick of it. And I don't think they're done yet. They just cleared some more cap space as we're taping this on Friday here. They cleared another $10 million this morning with giving Jerry Jeudy a restructure bonus. So I think they probably have a few more tricks up their sleeve. So far, I would probably give it maybe a B minus, maybe a C plus. I was actually hoping for a little bit more of a splash in the defensive department. I thought they should have gone hard after a Christian Wilkins or a Danielle Hunter or an Eric Armstead or some big name defensive lineman like that. I really thought that they needed a boost on that side of the ball, especially with all the quarterbacks that they have coming down the pike this year that are so talented, so formidable. So I really thought they needed to kind of keep the pedal to the metal, remain aggressive in talent acquisition on that side of the ball. And really, the only sort of big name defensive lineman, not big name, but the only defensive lineman that they added from outside was Quentin Jefferson, a defensive tackle who can also play on the outside. They also, as we know, they re-signed Z. But I really kind of thought they needed someone else who could bring double-digit sacks. So from that standpoint, I knock them down a little bit in the grading system.
Yeah, the restructuring of Jeudy, I wonder how much of that has to do with they just kind of needed to get under the cap to make some of these signings, right? They've obviously signed a couple of these guys, but they still need to free up some money to sign others. But, and we did have a question about this, we'll get to, they still have more money they can open up if they need to over the next few months. So I don't think there's any reason to think they're done. And I've kind of been thinking about this too. I think sometimes we have to adjust a little bit to what we're used to because the Browns are sort of a normal team now. So the combine used to be the Super Bowl, and the last few years, the combine has just sort of been, okay. Yeah. It's the combine, things like that. And so I think, free agency has always been such a big deal for the Browns because they've had so many holes to fill, but some years you just aren't that active in free agency and make a big splash. I do agree with you. I think there's still more they could do, but I think people expecting them to have a free agency like they used to have in like 2016 or whatever, when they just made every headline for 2 weeks, I don't think that was ever going to be the case.
Well, even last year, when you look at last year, they actually did make quite a splash last year. They traded for Elijah Moore. They signed Dalvin Tomlinson. They signed Za'Darius Smith. They signed Juan Thornhill. They signed Obo Okoronkwo. It was one right after another, even last year. But of course, they were in a situation last year where they were rebuilding the defense in the mold and in the mindset of Jim Schwartz. They needed to get some guys in to stock his defense. So I can understand where they felt pretty set for the most part on that side of the ball, and they really didn't need to go out and make that kind of a splash. They re-signed Maurice Hurst. They re-signed Shelby Harris. So I think they feel pretty good about what they have. And of course, they did trade for Jerry Jeudy. They got a jump on free agency by trading for Broncos receiver Jerry Jeudy, whom they had had their eye on for a couple of years. So that was kind of their big move. But I still think, I don't know, there are guys out there that I think could have helped this team. One is Marquise Hollywood Brown. The Chiefs just signed him to a one-year deal. I think the Browns could have done that. They could have used that speed. Why not keep supplying Deshaun Watson with as many weapons as possible, especially a dynamic weapon like that? So there are things I feel like they could have done, but they were very judicious. They feel like they're a pretty darn good football team and that they can build on what they did last year, especially if they get some of their guys back healthy, including their quarterback.
Yeah, and what was Hollywood Brown's number? Was it like 11 million? Was it one? I'm looking it up on Twitter right now to see. Was it like 1 year? It was not a huge number, and I'm trying to find it now to see what he signed for. But I didn't feel like it was all that much money. And I know we've talked about him, you know, a guy who's played with scrambling quarterbacks, a guy that can get out and, you know, he's played with Lamar, he's played with Kyler Murray, you know, he's a pretty dynamic young receiver. So I'm kind of with you on that. I think he's the guy that I would have had interest in. And, you know, the Browns kind of tried to stay ahead of the curve and make a move before the wide receiver market got set. But, you know, it means, yeah, here it is. 1 year deal worth up to $11 million, which is less than Jerry Jeudy is making this year. So, you know, maybe we're going to look at this and say, hey, Hollywood Brown for 1 year would have been better than what essentially right now is Jerry Jeudy for 1 year. Cause he's a young guy too. So I don't know, that's going to be something to kind of monitor.
And the operative word there is up to $11 million. Because when you have up to $11 million, five of that could be in incentives and bonuses. So that could be a one-year deal worth $6 million for all we know. We don't know the exact structure of the contract yet, but it seems to me it would have been doable for the Browns. Because even if it was $11 million flat, you can still give $10 million of that. Of course, it's easy for me to spend Jimmy Haslam's money and Andrew Berry's money, but you could still bring that base down to $2 million and give the rest of it in a bonus. So I think that's one I absolutely would have done, especially because of the speed factor and all of those other things that you mentioned, the twitchiness, the ability to go deep, the ability to bring a different element to the table and to work with a dual threat quarterback like Deshaun Watson. So I would have done that. And there are a few other things I would have done. I actually would prefer that the Browns, if I were GM of the Browns, I would prefer to have one guy that you know you can put out there on that defensive line and he's going to get home. He's going to get to that quarterback and he's going to get you those double-digit sacks like a Christian Wilkins or a Danielle Hunter. Last year or the year before, it was a Trey Hendrickson, who I know you really liked a lot. A guy like that can change your defense, can transform your defense. And people might argue, well, it was already the number one defense in the NFL last year. And it was from a yard standpoint, but it's a whole new ball game in 2024 with all of these different quarterbacks coming down the pike, including now Russell Wilson. And if Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh as their new offensive coordinator can rekindle and resuscitate the career of Russell Wilson, he could be dangerous this year.
And, you know, the thing about Z is I like bringing him back, and I think he was effective as the number two guy, but he's not getting younger. I mean, he's certainly on the wrong side of 30, and the sack production, at least now, the Browns and some other people might point to, stuff outside of just traditional sacks, but the sack production has dropped ever since the second half of the year before the Browns brought him in. So, you know, he had 5.5 last year. He had like 10 in the first half of the season in his last year in Minnesota. And then it's just kind of dropped off since then. So I don't mind the idea of bringing Z back, but there is also just in the back of my mind, like he's not young. He's 31, 32. I got to look that up. I know I've 31. Written it and said it. Yeah. So, you know, maybe it's fine, but maybe that age starts to catch up with them a little bit too. I've always kind of wanted them. And again, this is where not having those first round picks in the Deshaun trade comes back to hurt you. I've always wanted them to find a young, affordable, dynamic pass rusher to put next to Myles Garrett for like 4 years or 5 years. Just be that guy that's going to grow up next to Myles Garrett. And if you get him in the draft, obviously you'd have some cost control. And they just, you know, they've sort of made the decision that they're going to go with veteran guys. First, Jadeveon. It was obviously Olivier Vernon when they first got here, then Jadeveon, and now Za'Darius. So that's the decision they've made. It's worked at times. It hasn't at others. I guess we'll see with Za'Darius how it goes now. But I do wish there was a little more stability on that other edge.
And maybe they believe that some of their younger guys, the Alex Wrights, will pick it up even more. Alex had 5 sacks last year. Maybe they're looking at a larger role for him. I think they believe that a healthy Oboe is going to be even more productive this year because he missed the four games of last season with a torn pec himself. So I think they're looking at that as another place where they can mine some sacks and some pressure. But you're right. He's 31, but he's an older 31. I think his birthday is in September. Yes. So this is his 32nd year. He will be 32 for this entire football season. And that starts to get a little long in the tooth when you're trying to get to the quarterback, especially when you're trying to get to these young, fast, mobile quarterbacks that he's being asked to get to and to pressure. So we'll have to see how that goes. I still think they need to add another pass rusher in some way, another edge rusher. Now, again, Quentin Jefferson can play on the inside. He can play on the outside. He had 6 sacks last year, and I think there will be more. They also have a new defensive line coach this year. I don't think they were happy with the sack production last year, even though they set a record with 48 sacks. There was that long stretch. There was a 2-game stretch where they had none, and they got chewed out by Jim Schwartz. And then, of course, we saw that Myles Garrett tailed off at the end and had one in his final 6 games. So I think that they want new energy and a new vibe there. I think they're happy with the personnel that they have. We'll see if they can find someone else to add.
Okay, let's get to this question about another move that the Browns made that we've obviously discussed. We got to talk to this guy yesterday, Tom in Middlebury, Connecticut. Hey, Mary Kay, how will the Jerry Jeudy trade be? How will Jerry Jeudy be more impactful than Elijah Moore? Similar hype for both trades. Why will this result be different?
Well, we're going to have to see. I think they're going to be playing more three wides this year. I know they will be playing more three wides. And I think they feel like these three guys are going to complement each other very well. You've got some route running, you've got hands, you've got speed, you've got twitchiness. You have a nice mix of three different sorts of guys, but three guys that also bring some similar things to the table. Why do they think that it's going to be better? I firmly believe that they think if Deshaun is healthy the whole season, that he will be able to bring out the best in Elijah Moore and also maximize the talents and abilities of a Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy, there were times last year where it appeared that Russell Wilson was looking away from him when he was open, and he was expressing frustration on the field. It just wasn't a good situation. Is that going to change here? Will that be different? We'll see. He says it's a fresh start for him. And, you know, let's see how that works out. Sometimes a guy comes to a new place and things go just the way they did in the previous place. Sometimes a player comes to a new place and everything is new and different, and it works out much, much better. So they're putting their faith in both Elijah and Jerry Jeudy to be the best version of themselves. And we will have to see how that works out. One thing we do know is that, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit, Jerry Jeudy is going to want to make sure that Amari Cooper is proud of the way he's playing, of the way he's preparing, the way he's training. And because of that, I think he's going to be very, very motivated to reach his potential, which I don't think he has reached yet.
Yeah, and there's a lot of versatility in that group now with, and obviously Amari's going to be your outside guy, but Jeudy can play in the slot. Elijah can play in the slot. The one concern I have is, unfortunately, guys got better when Joe Flacco took over. And it wasn't until Joe Flacco got in that Joe Flacco came in and did a lot of the things that I think people were hoping Deshaun would do for guys. So hopefully that was just because Deshaun was hurt and he couldn't find any consistency. But it's like Elijah Moore certainly played better with Joe David. I mean, we could just go through the list of all the guys that played better once Joe Flacco showed up. So, you know, again, it all kind of comes down to Deshaun Watson, but I do think, I mean, I could see how it could work with Jerry Jeudy. I'm a little hesitant to go too all in on what I think it could look like, because I know we all got excited about Elijah Moore and I don't want to do that again, but I see the potential there. I see how, you know, again, his versatility, his route running, being with Amari Cooper, I certainly see how this could work. And his production in Denver was better than Elijah Moore's was in New York. And I still think they could figure out a way to make it work with Elijah Moore. I think Elijah Moore is at least a guy that you can have in your receiving core and that can make some catches and do some good things for you. I don't think Elijah Moore is a zero. So, you know, I certainly could see how this all could work.
When you look back to 2022, Jerry Jeudy had almost 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. He had 67 catches on 100 targets, catching 67% of his targets. That's a pretty darn good season. That was his first year with Russell Wilson. And then last year, for whatever reason, we won't really exactly know what that reason was, but he dropped off some to the point where he had only 2 touchdown catches. That is nowhere near enough for basically your number one receiver. So that's an area that they really need to dig into, because when you look at it, you had Elijah Moore catching 2 touchdown passes last year. You had Jerry Jeudy catching 2 touchdown passes last year. Those two guys have way too much talent to combine for 4 touchdown catches. And really, Amari Cooper only had 5. So this is an area where the Browns are going to have to make sure that those guys are connecting with Deshaun Watson and that they're scoring the football. Because if you're doing that, then you're winning a lot of football games. Whenever I look to Tampa, I see that Baker Mayfield was able to win games in large part because he was connecting so well with Mike Evans for 13 touchdowns. That is a recipe for winning. You have to be able to be throwing and catching touchdown passes. So they've got to get that figured out. As far as last year is concerned, I'm going to chalk it up to, until I find out differently, I'm going to chalk it up to Deshaun Watson being hurt, because I want to see what a healthy Deshaun Watson can do for a season. We don't know the answer to that yet. And truthfully, neither do the Cleveland Browns. They don't know. Last year, there were flashes of it. We saw games and moments here and there where he was the Deshaun Watson of old. But most of his season was marred by first the strained rotator cuff and then the fractured shoulder. So I almost think 2023 is kind of a wash for him. Let's see what he can do this year.
Yeah, I mean, the big question, we saw flashes, but the big question is, can Deshaun put together 17 games of the caliber of quarterback they need him to be? That's really the question that has to be answered, and we can't answer that until the season starts. So they're certainly trying to put things in place to make that possible. Let's stick with the wide receiver position. Terry Richards in Peoria, Arizona. Hey, Mary Kay. Is it just Jeudy as an addition at wide receiver, or is there still any consideration of Watson's former Clemson teammates, Mike Williams or Hunter Renfrow?
Great question. I'll tell you what, I would definitely be interested in one or both of those guys, or either of those guys. I would be. I don't think that you can let your foot off the gas right now. Look what Joe Burrow was when he had Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. Receivers that could go out there in any season and produce 1,000 yards for you. I feel like that's what the Browns really need to have. And why not try to get it? The Kansas City Chiefs don't let up on trying to add receivers, that's for sure. When they let Tyreek Hill get away, they just continued to add to the pile and add to the pile. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but you have to try, especially when you're going to be going more 11 personnel or 3 wides this year. I have no idea if they will go out and try to sign a Mike Williams, who is coming off of a torn ACL, and his medicals so far have not been great. But as we mentioned the other day, Nick Chubb wouldn't pass a physical right now either. But by September, maybe you have a Pro Bowl receiver on your hands. So I would keep my eyes peeled for that one for sure. Hunter Renfrow, I haven't really dug as much into that one at this point, but I really feel like Mike Williams would be a great addition, in part because he's just such a huge, enormous guy that can go up and get the ball. And from a receiver standpoint, I think that would be really an element that they could use.
Okay, let's take a break. We've got more questions from our Football Insider subscribers on the other side here. And back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast, Dan Lobby and Mary Kay Cabot. A Hey Mary Kay edition of the podcast, continuing to talk about some of the moves the Browns have made in free agency. This comes from Tom Bays in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey Mary Kay, after the recent free agent signings, which is stronger, the offense or defense? I feel like we've talked about this question a little bit, but I'll throw it in there. What side of the ball still needs the most improvements?
You know, I'm going to say 50-50. I think that they have a very balanced football team. I really do. I don't think there are some teams you can look out there in the NFL and you can say, well, geez, if they only had a defense. I think the Browns have both, as long as they have the quarterback. Again, that's the big unknown heading into this season. Do they have a good, effective, elite, healthy quarterback? Time will tell. But if they do have that, then they certainly have the offensive line. They have the running game. Even if Nick Chubb doesn't make it back super healthy at the beginning of the season, I still think they have a really, really good running game, and that they will have a good running game because of the offensive line. You're going to be able to run behind that line. They've got the receiving core. They've got the tight ends. Even though, you know, they probably will still need to add a little bit to the pile, I just think it's a strong football team all across the board. So I can't really sit here and say that I think one side is so much worse than the other.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I guess I could probably poke more holes on the offensive side, but it's still pretty strong. I mean, we're talking about, you know, they still need to add a tight end too, probably, unless they really think Jordan Akins is going to be that guy. They still, you know, we've talked so much about the receivers. They might be, you know, one injury away from being kind of in a jam at receiver still, but I don't know. It's hard to really poke holes in different areas of this roster, especially the top end of it. Like, you know, on the defensive side, sure, they could probably use another tackle. Maybe they could add a couple more linebackers just as depth or something. They look pretty good in the secondary right now. Third safety. There aren't really glaring areas where it's like, okay, this team is in real trouble if they don't make a move here. I think I would just say the defense by default, because they were so good last year and they're kind of just running it back. So it was the number one defense in football. But if Deshaun Watson is Deshaun Watson, then that changes the offensive side of the ball. So yeah, 50-50 is probably the right answer. If I had to choose one side, though, I'd probably say the defense. Let's talk about that run game here. Bruce Moore in West Palm Beach, Florida. Hey, Mary Kay, Nick Chubb might not be full go until several weeks into the season. The running back they just signed, which is Nyheim Hines, is more of a third down pass catcher, while Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong are still young. Do you see the Browns bringing in another more experienced back before training camp?
I do see them bringing in another back if it becomes apparent that Nick Chubb isn't going to be what they need him to be from the start of the season. Right now, I think they believe and they are counting on him being that. If it looks like they need to supplement there, I think they'll be able to go out and they'll be able to find a running back. It's one of the easiest positions to find when you need one. People don't like to hear that. And actually, running backs got paid in this free agency cycle. But I do think that they will be able to go out and find themselves a running back in the event that they need one. I always think of a guy like Raheem Mostert. I mean, he was someone that was here in Cleveland. He was cast aside and, you know, he went on to be a tremendous, tremendous running back. So you can find these guys as undrafted rookies. You can find one in the draft. I just don't think it's going to be an issue. I don't think they have any sense of urgency to be able to go out there and find the kind of running back that's going to help them. And as you mentioned, Nyheim Hines, as long as he comes back healthy from a torn ACL, will really, really be able to help them in that third down back role.
Yeah, I really like that signing. I think it's got a chance to be a good one. And Jerome Ford was fine last year. He wasn't amazing, but he was fine, and I think he got better as the year went along. And I don't know if he's a back you want to hand the ball off to 25 times, but that's not what this offense is going to do anyway. So they'll find somebody if they need to, but it seems like they're confident Nick Chubb's going to be back and is going to at some point start to look like Nick Chubb again. Cause I think even 75 or 80% of Nick Chubb is still, I'll take that over a lot of backs in the league.
In addition to that, they have a new running backs coach in Deuce Staley. And then just yesterday or the day before, they brought in a college coach to come in as their running game specialist. And I think that those two things are going to help them tremendously. I think they feel like Jerome Ford has more to him and that Deuce will be able to help bring that out in him. So they brought a new energy into the room just by virtue of the coaching staff and the schemes that you'll be seeing.
Yeah, Nick Charlton is the coach they brought in from UConn, who, by the way, I noticed this as I was kind of looking into it, an offensive background, obviously, an offensive coordinator background, also has worked with quarterbacks. We've talked about that here on this pod a little bit. They keep bringing in guys who have worked with quarterbacks in their past for a lot of these positions, whether it's Tommy Rees or Nick Charlton. Of course, you know, Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, has been a quarterback's coach and played quarterback. So definitely very quarterback focused in a lot of these hires. It's been interesting to see. There were questions about the Deshaun Watson and Nick Chubb potential restructures. Everyone's still kind of waiting on those. The Nick Chubb one is the big one, what they're going to do there. Do you think those are coming soon? Or, you know, I keep wondering if could we see a Deshaun restructure just later, like maybe before the season or something, so they can just have cap space? Because, you know, we know they love to have cap space to roll over and kind of keep that ball rolling down the road. Do you see either of those coming anytime soon?
I do think there's a chance that Deshaun's could happen later, as you mentioned, to have some space, to have a cushion, maybe even before the trade deadline, or to have some cap space to roll over. So that one, I don't think there's a huge sense of urgency. They know they can go get it anytime they need it. It's just a matter of when do they want to cut this enormous check. So until you need to do that, why not gain some interest on that money or whatever you're doing with it? And then in the case of Nick Chubb, I think they'll give it a little breathing room to see how he's doing as he gets closer to training camp and closer to the start of the season. And then they'll have a better way of being able to restructure that contract, because it's going to be an incentive-laden contract and everybody has to put their heads together, get really creative about that and see how that's going to turn out the best for everyone.
Yeah. And the thing is, they can do this. They could agree to terms with somebody tomorrow and restructure Deshaun the next day and then sign the guy. It's not a hard process. It's not a real complicated process to call up an agent and say, hey, let's redo this deal and give your client a bunch of money right now. And that, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time. So they could, I mean, just in theory, let's say they wanted to get Mike Williams and it was going to cost them $10 or $12 million. You know, they could agree to that deal and then start working on finding that money and then sign the contract. So there's no real urgency necessarily to do it right now, just for the sake of doing it.
And just so people know, and I've had questions about this, and we do need to try to write something about this for some of our readers that want to understand this a little bit better. But basically what you do is, in the case of a Jerry Jeudy, he came in with his fifth year option salary, for which is guaranteed for 2024, of $12.987 million. What the Browns did was they gave him a $10 million restructure bonus and brought that number down to two something for his base salary for this year. And then you spread the contract out over a couple of years by adding void years that are really just fictitious years that that aren't really even sort of there, just so you can dump the bonus, the prorated bonus, out over those years. So that's basically how that works. And it's a win-win because the team gets the space that it needs and the player gets an upfront huge check. Party tonight at Jerry Jeudy's house.
Yeah, right. And this is where you'll see this sometimes on Twitter. I think the NFLPA tweets it out every year. The cash spending. And the Browns are always near the top when it comes to cash spending. And that's where having rich owners who can just cut checks and say, yeah, well, you know, we'll turn this into a signing bonus. We'll pay it now. That's where the Browns kind of benefit from that. And that's where, you know, the haves kind of separate from the have nots a little bit in the NFL. The Bengals are kind of going through this with T. Higgins, right? They've got to figure some things out. And that is an owner that is notoriously doesn't spend a lot of money. So that makes things like that a little more complicated. Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast, the Hey Mary Kay edition of the podcast. We're actually wrapping up because news just broke, actually, that the Browns are hiring a hometown guy to their staff. It's Mike Vrabel. He is going to join as a coaching and personnel consultant. So kind of a cool addition for the Browns, a former NFL coach, obviously a former player in the league, a guy that I really like as a coach. Bring him into the building. It's always good to have as many smart guys in the building as you can get. Okay, you know where to find us. Instagram, search Orange and Brown Talk. YouTube, search Cleveland Browns on cleveland.com. And of course, sign up to be a Football Insider subscriber, cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. For Mary Kay Cabot, I'm Dan Lobby. Thanks for listening, everybody.